Wherever you see it, it introduces the divine alternative to any human or natural existing reality. That is, wherever you see the but God, it introduces the fact that God saw a reality existing. That reality could be from nature. It could be from man. And that the Almighty God wants us to understand that he wants to have a dog in that fight, as we put it. That the Almighty God, whenever you see the but God phrase, it means that God saw the reality that was going on. As I've said, that reality can be from nature, it can be from man. But the but God means that God is showing his alternative, his option. And that he's going to be a part of whatever is going on. And therefore, the of God phrase means or implies, yes, this is going on. Or this is what you think or what you want. But on the contrary, or with the exception of, or on the other hand, that is, yes, that's what you human think. Yes, this is what nature is doing, but on the other hand, or God has a different view in this matter. Those are some of the implications of the but God. We ended the first lesson, and at the end of that first lesson last week, we ended it on two passages were under consideration. One was 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6 to verse 8, and one was Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to verse 21. And just a brief point as we move on, that we pointed this out, but it's important to be mindful. That in the passage of Luke, chapter 12, and verse 16 through 21, we notice some inevitable realities, that is, inevitability deals with things that are unavoidable. You can't avoid them. You can't get around them. You can't get under them. You cannot get over them. Inevitable. When the Almighty God entered the picture there, you know, let us briefly get Luke chapter 12, verse 16, find the but God, or just the verse above. Quick.
But God said unto him,
Yes.
Thou fool.
Okay, what verse was 19 start out?
Verse 20.
Let me hear verse 19.
And I will say to my Lord,
this is the rich man.
My soul.
Is big farm produce a lot. He was thinking about tearing down storehouses to store more things. And this is the plan. You're here in verse 19. So verse 19.
And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.
That is like, for months you have not looked on your investment. For months you have not taken out your bank book and you forget how many millions are in it. And you decide to check up. And you check up on the investment you have there and there and everywhere. And you said, you know, I really look well. That's the type of idea here. Read on.
But God said unto him.
You see, but God said unto him.
Thou fool.
Thou fool.
This night thy soul.
No doubt this man had pat himself on the shoulder how wisely he invested. No doubt the society in which he lived consider him a good subject to be president of the Chamber of Commerce. But God says, thou fool, this night. What?
Thy soul shall be required
of
thee.
I'm just briefly to pick, so as to pick up now on some new point, reminding you of some of the inevitable realities which this rich fool never thought about. I doubt if that man ever considered that he has a soul. What is that again, Brother Mitchell? The godlike part in us. All of us, and that is why we are responsible to God in ways that the cow and the goat and the pigs are not responsible. Because they do not have a spiritual soul. They do not have a God-like part in them like we do. This man never thought of that from all indication. This night by...
Thy soul shall be required of thee.
I growing up hearing this phrase in the country. When man a right, God a wipe out. That's right. Oh my God, I think my parents, my mother, grandmother, and others around me use that almost every week. So when man a right, God a wipe out. Well, here you have an instant of that. When this man was planning, God was doing some unplanning. As it relates both to his life and his things. We must be mindful of that. Because in many cases we may fall in these traps. We might be so tied to this world and material things that the important thing of our soul, our relation, right relationship with God is forgotten. May I? As we now pick up on the passage that was read this morning, if my memory serves me right, it was 1 Peter chapter 5 from verse 8 or 9 to 10. That's supposed to have been the passage, unless I'd given you another one. Let us hear that passage again. 1 Peter chapter 5 from a verse 8 or 9 to verse 10.
Be sober.
Mm-hmm.
Be vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
Because your adversary, the devil,
mm-hmm.
as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeketh whom he may devour,
mm-hmm.
whom resist steadfast in the faith,
mm-hmm.
knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, even after that ye have suffered a while,
mm-hmm.
make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you.
Let me hear verse 10 again.
But the God of all grace.
Wait, you notice after what it has said in verse 7, verse 8. And what it was dealing with. Watch it. It was dealing with some of the unpleasant things that happen in life to everyone, Christian and non-Christian. Loss, failures in various areas of our lives, sickness, death, different things that can devastate us. That's what it was dealing with in part of the passages here. Some of these things we have no control over. It's not that we bring them on ourselves. They happen. That's what this life carries with it. And as it deals with it now, it was under that situation that, verse 10,
but the God of all grace.
Now, stop there, brother. That's what we want to listen, verse 10. But the God of all grace,
who hath called us,
the one who called us, that is the Almighty God, call us
unto his,
to his salvation in Christ.
Amen.
Read.
After that,
he
hath suffered a while.
It's dealing with suffering. And I don't know if in the lesson today I'll get to go in some of the various areas that suffering may come. I may just drop on your eye. At this point, I'm not planning to, but there's so much to learn from the different passages where the "but God" is used. Today, I'm hoping to examine two other passages. The one under consideration here, 1 Peter chapter 5, especially verse 10, and probably another passage in Ephesians. But as I've said, I'm not sure I could have probably another half a dozen lessons just examining the various areas that the "but God" comes in and what we can learn. What I want you to notice is at the end of verse 10. Read verse 10 again, brother.
But the God of all grace.
He's a God of all grace.
Who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that, he have suffered a while.
Yes, that when you go through suffering, never think that God is not mindful of it.
Amen.
Please, read.
Make you perfect.
Notice here, he's going to use four words. And each of these words is a lesson by itself. He makes you perfect.
Make you perfect.
Establish. He establish you.
Strengtheneth.
He strengthen you.
Settle you.
He settled you. We're going to take some time off to just sort of examine these few words that God will attend to us as we confront the different negative experiences of this life. We must never think that we are alone when we are going through trying times. And the "but God" in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10 is telling us that. So we examine what I would term God's objectionable alternative. Remember, the "but God" is usually when God objects. When God doesn't like what is going on and He objects to it and introduces his own alternative. And in this case, whatever man or nature or the world may do to you, that things that are negative and unpleasant, the Almighty God is mindful and is working for you. The text, the but God in 1 Peter 5:10, is about the outgrowth or the reward of suffering. Did I hear you, Brother Mitchell? Me not like that day we are the master. But you know, if I can have the Almighty God doing all these four things to me, then I will bear the suffering gladly. When a child of God endures suffering, gaining the experience and the wisdom that comes from suffering, gaining the experience without growing weak, without backsliding. Because the Almighty God takes into consideration that many Christians, the moment some problem and challenges and suffering come in life, the moment difficult times come, they tell themselves, you know, I thought that as a Christian I shouldn't be going through this. And either they grow weak, are they backslide? The passage here is not talking. The four great things that God will do for us, it's not talking about the men and women who easily give up because they are going through some trying time. It is telling us that when we go through suffering, we do not grow weaker. We do not backslide. It is telling us that God will reward us. Each of the word use is a lesson by itself. Let us hear the verse again, Brother 10.
But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while.
After you have suffered a while, and God was noting what you have been going through for the weeks or months or years, and the Almighty God saw your determination to stay close to him. Read.
Make you perfect.
He makes you perfect. Let us look at that briefly now. While the King James translates the word perfect, another adequate word to use is the word restore. That is the original Greek word used there for perfect. Also carries the idea of restore. This was the word, that is the word used there, translated by the King James, perfect, and by some other translation, restore you. It is the word commonly used to describe setting back a broken limb, be it animal or human being. This was the word that was commonly used when a broken arm, a broken leg was reset. Not only that, it was the word used to describe the fisherman's net that was torn. Now, what we're being told here metaphorically is that our lives can be like a broken limb. Our lives can be like a torn fisherman's net. Mark you, that net was made to catch fish. When it is torn, when a hole is in the net, anything come in, go out. And what we are getting is that our lives can be like that. But it is telling us when suffering bring our cause a tear in our net, in our lives, if we stay close to Jesus Christ, God will mend that net. It is telling us that when there is a breakage in our lives, but we didn't give up, the Almighty God can fix back that broken leg or broken arm. Look on the word used in Mark chapter 1, verse 19, the very word katarizin, the original Greek word katarizin, used in the book of Mark chapter 1 and verse 19.
And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, mm-hmm. and John, his mm-hmm. brother, mm-hmm. who also were in the ship, mm-hmm. mending their nets.
What they were doing?
Mending their nets.
You see, this is why some translate the word restore. You see, the word that the King James translate, make you perfect, the word is to mend you. You see, the Almighty God through Christ has interest in us being successful Christians. And if along the path, as we set our aim, our goal, our objective in being pleasing to God, but if Satan knock you down, use suffering to shake you, but you are still holding on, the Bible here tells us that the Almighty God will supply that which is missing, or restore the part which is lacking or wanting. That's the idea in the word perfect. As translated, they're telling us that when suffering bring all sort of emotion and sorrow in our lives, the Almighty God is always mindful, but he's not just standing there with his hand behind his back, mindful. He's thinking how to make you come out of that suffering a better person. Always a better person. Wiser, more experienced. You know, it's great when you have the experiential resources of the past to guide your future. I've told you about this already, but I want to hear it again. When we pitch our first tent on this ground, first tent, and keep in mind that that time we were worshiping at Wright Crescent, the little place could hold just about 25, 30 of us, including children. And after planning this meeting for months, we have now paid for the place. and we had set up the building behind. It was partially completed, a one-floor building, and we planned the meeting and put out plan. We tried to get a good tent, but all the try, we weren't successful, and it was J. Ray and nephew. That's right. That finally loan us, what they did, they loan us about 2 or 3 tents because we couldn't find anything big enough. They couldn't find, loan us. And, you know, at that time we knew Major Bailey. Brother Morrison, we're glad to have you back. You know, glad to have you back. Yeah. Major Bailey was a brother to Brother Palmer. And, I mean, anything he could grant us, he was of great help. He knew Brother Walker and myself quite well. And we asked him if he could send some soldier to pitch the tent, put the 3 tents together. And thing, and we planned the meeting. Brother G.P. Hall came down, and you know, some other brethren came down with him. The first gospel meeting, tent meeting we're going to have, and that I'm going to experience in planning. I was at that time just about 22, just about 22 and 5, 27, just about 28 years old. And everything was ready for that Sunday night. And brothers and sisters, with anxiety I look forward for the Sunday night. But you see, you don't know how things going to turn out. And the Sunday afternoon, one piece of rain start. You know, I felt like I would die. Truly. Truly. Oh, my God. When I left home, I was living in Patrick City, to go to the hotel and pick up Brother Holt. I know one of the time he came, he stayed at the house. I don't think he. But we're going to hotel to pick him up or pick up those who came. And I was so discouraged, it's like no life was left in me. Because with all that effort we put out, and here rain comes, it's wild it up. And you know, brethren, I never forget. When I came from the hotel and drive up and look under the tent, it was packed like ants. I mean, the place was, in fact, I think that is the largest 3 weeks that meeting. Trust right? Oh my God, we now develop short breath. That's right. It was a 3 weeks that meeting. And every night it was packed. And you may say, why am I sharing that with you? I learned from that time. That's experience. I learned from that time that when we plan anything, earthquake may come, rain may come. I learned to take it in my stride. Just tell myself, if this is God's will, let it be. That comes through experience. That's what suffering does. Suffering qualifies us to meet the future challenge in a more successful way. Suffering teaches us and helps us not to melt, not to get in frazzle when some challenge confront you. So when the Almighty God promised that among the things he will do, he will supply that which is missing, or he will restore the part which is lacking and wanting. But wait, let me drop this by. You might be wondering, Brother Mitchell, who brings suffering? Is it God or Satan? From what the Bible teaches in the book of 2 Corinthians 12, we will not go there. Suffering is referred to as a messenger of whom? Satan. That's right. A messenger of Satan. And that is the tool that Satan usually used to get us where he wants us. But what the Almighty God is promising here, if we stick it out with him, he will reward us. He will reward us. May I? When suffering is confronted with humility and faithfulness, it adds to our character that which is lacking, and it can repair our weaknesses and add greatness to our character. Suffering, in fact, if we take it with the right attitude, actually makes us better people. It does. But the Bible uses another word. In fact, let us run to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7.
That the trials of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire.
Wait, you notice how it is lightning suffering? And problem, it is like gold that is tried by fire. Do you realize that it is when the gold go through fire and come out, it radiates? That's right. That's right. Because what the fire actually does is burn off the chaff and the little dirt that it may. That's right. And that's what the inspired writer is telling us here. Though it be tried with
fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, here the word that is used to perfect you or to restore you, that's the first word. It is telling us that God is there noting all that life throw at us. But at the end of it, throw something better. He will do some restoration and make you more qualified to meet the suffering of the future. But there is another word used in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Let us hear it.
Establish.
Establish you. That's right. May we look at this word briefly also? Through suffering, God will establish the faithful Christian. Notice, may I? The passage, the emphasis in the passage is that God stands ready to be of help to all men and women who set out to serve him. But the passage is, the emphasis in this passage is encouraging the Christian to whom Peter wrote and encouraging us not to easily and quickly throw up the towel because some bad time comes in our life. So the greater emphasis here is what God will do to the Christian who is determined to follow Christ. And here it tells us that God will establish. The Greek word is stereoin. And the word means to make firm and solid as granite. That is as a hardened concrete. That's what the word means. May I? Suffering of our body and sorrow of our mind, our heart. These do one of two things to a person. Suffering can make a person collapse under the suffering. Even the Christian, if you do not hold tightly on Jesus Christ, it can make you collapse. And young Christian, learn, because you're young, you have not been with Christ for probably any great length of time to understand some of the things that can come in life. But it's good that you take time off to learn. I may just point out here, every time you miss a worship service, you miss some help that God wants to give you. So back on the point, as I was saying, that suffering of the body and sorrow of the heart do one of two things to a person. One, it either make that man or woman, boy or girl collapse, or out of the suffering, it helped that man, woman, boy, or girl to emerge or come out with solidity and character. Suffering does that. That when you come out of it, when you pass through it, as I've said, that after having gone through that situation where it's like my world come to an end after putting months of work, planning, ups and downs in a meeting and to see the rain come to wash it out. And to see that after all, we have never had, I believe in that meeting we had about 45 baptism. I learned from then. When you see the rain or whatever, just remember that God has control, and if he chooses to make it come, then let it come. That comes through experience. Yes. As I've said, it either make man or woman collapse or make the person emerge with solidity and with character, which he could not have had otherwise from that suffering. We all know that it is the rigor of exercise that produce world-class athlete. It's when that athlete not competing against other, when by himself or herself go round that track until he sweat wet, and when he get that practice, when he gets in the competition, is going to win. That is produced by the rigor of the exercise that he has been doing. Suffering tend to do that to us. May I? Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10.
For it became him.
It became, that is Jesus Christ.
For whom are all things.
All things are for Christ.
And by whom are all things.
All things was produced by Christ.
In bringing many sons unto glory.
In bringing many sons unto glory.
To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings.
Everybody hear that? The Almighty God made Jesus Christ complete through suffering. But Brother Mitchell, Christ never sinned? No. But in qualifying Jesus Christ with the human experience he need to be sympathetic to us as he deals with our growth and development, the Almighty God had to permit Christ to experience suffering. That qualified Christ to deal with us. So even for the perfect Son of God, suffering did a good job on him. Yes. So God will establish us, make us firm and solid as granite, as hardened concrete. That's what the word establish there means. And let me see if I can deal with one more word. What is it, brother?
Strengthen.
Strengthen us. The original Greek word from that which is taken is the word stenoon. The word means to fill with strength. To fill our full a life with strength. And God stands one side to help us to be stronger coming out of any negative experience that we still hold on to Christ. A life with no discipline, a life with no effort, usually become a weak and a flabby life. That is a life where there is no discipline. In fact, may I just drop here? The indisciplined man or woman is never a match for the disciplined person. A man or woman, a young, middle-aged, upper age, a boy or girl that is disciplined, they can take instruction, they can go through some difficulties and still remain solid. The person who is easily swayed here and there is no match for the person who is disciplined. So, suffering fills us with strength. Only when our faith has been tried do we know what we are all about. A lot of times when a little problem comes and a person melt under it, go to pieces, that's the first time that man or woman get to know him or herself. Because it is the first time they have ever gone through something like that. And a lot of time it's not probably anything that big or devastating. It's just that the person lacks experience in those things. So only when our faith has been tried Do we know what we are about? Faith which has come through pain. A faith or a life which has come through sorrow. A life which has experienced loss. A life which has seen disappointment. A life which has experienced perplexity is a dynamic life. Because all those experiences, what they do is fit us, shape us, qualify us to deal with whatever Satan and the future bring. Look at Romans chapter 8. I'm coming down to the end of the lesson. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. Quick. Romans 8, 35 through 39.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Wait. This question is asked to bring something to the mind and the attention of the Christian. That when you are going through whatever you are going through, never doubt the love of God. If you still hold on to Him as a faithful Christian. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Read.
Shall tribulation...
When you are going through tribulation, never interpret that meaning that God no love you anymore. Read.
Or distress.
When you are going through distress, doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Read.
Or persecution.
When you are persecuted, Paul is saying God still loves you. Read.
Or famine.
When you do not have anything to eat. My God, that's basic. But this is telling us that a Christian may at times find him herself with nothing to eat. And you're going to draw the conclusion, this must mean that God no love me. Paul said, no, don't misread the famine that is in your life. Read.
Or nakedness.
Are you naked? Are you can hardly find anything to cover your nakedness? Be careful of the interpretation you give that. Read.
Or peril.
Peril, that is your life. Face danger. A lot of time it's life and death danger. Wait. You know, we're talking. The brother mentioned, and so right, that so many Christians don't understand the importance of being in all the worship of the church. Are we all there? Many Christians feel so satisfied when they attend one worship for the week. They believe them give God enough. And as I pointed out, then yes, we need to talk more about it. And as was brought up, I think it was in the men's training class it came up, that as one brother said, he would rather, because we think of the crime and thing, and mark you, there are elderly people who want to come, but cannot for various reasons, failure of health. There are others who are so afraid. But as the brother rightly pointed, you know, I would rather get hurt coming to worship or being in worship than get hurt at home while others are here worshiping God.
Or sword?
Our sword, I believe the last one you mentioned was peril. That's right. And peril means danger. What it is telling, when we face peril, doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. Read. Our sword. Read.
As it is written.
As it is written.
For thy sake.
For your sake. For Christianity's sake. For Christ's sake. For the sake of being faithful to God. Read.
We are killed all the day long.
We are killed all the day long.
We are accounted as sheep for
the
slaughter.
We are accounted as a Christian, you know, the faithful Christian, a sheep for the slaughter. Read.
Nay.
Nay.
In all these things.
Wait. I like that, brother. What the nay there mean? All when you are go through all of this. What comes after the nay? In all these things.
We are more than conquerors.
Everybody gets that? As you or I remain faithful to God, in spite of whatever we might be going through, we are not going to be less committed, less trusting in God. The Bible says in all these things, we are not just conquerors, we are more than conquerors. And the passage went on to talk about the love of God. May I So as I've said, the faith which has come through pain, sorrow, loss, disappointment, perplexity is a dynamic faith. May I? We are in the time of the year when you have wind, the breeze blow. You notice that the wind can extinguish a weak flame. Let me make sure you understand. If you have a candle burning, or the mosquito destroyer, you do not need a hard flame to, we country people call it, out. That's right. To extinguish it. Are we all there? But the same wind will fan and blaze a strong flame to a greater blaze. The same wind that out or extinguish a weak flame, the same wind will make a strong flame blaze even better. And that's what problem, suffering, challenges may do to two different Christians. To the weak one, that person may give up, backslide, blame the church and Christianity. But to the strong child of God, the same issue, challenge, problem that make that one backslide may make this one grow even stronger. Let me just mention this. Remember, life's trials bring the best and it brings the worst out of us, depending on who we are. The Bible used one more word, but we're not going to comment on it. I'm just going to... What the other word, brother?
Settle.
The original Greek word, themalion, means to lay the foundation. That's what that word means. And all these four words are telling us what God will do for us when we go through sufferings and problems and still hold on to Christ. He will fix our foundation. Are you here? You notice where we're coming from? It's the but God in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. That's what we have been dealing with. Entire sermon almost. Four words that the Almighty God through Peter told the Christian that he will do for them when they remain faithful in spite of. As I've said, we could have probably a dozen more lessons on the but God. Between now and the next few days, we will decide whether we will probably have one more lesson on this subject. In the meantime, right now, you can give your life to Jesus Christ. You know what? If you learn nothing in this lesson, you learn that God will be there for you. If you are determined to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And if you are in the audience today, and if you are not a child of God, Jesus Christ has a specific way in which you make him your Lord and your Savior. Yes, the brother is going to come now with an invitation, son. Jesus Christ has specific terms and condition by which you can become a child of his. It's not left up to the church to tell you, do this. No, Jesus Christ has it laid down. In the gospel, the way you are to become a Christian. We only tell you what it is. We don't make it. We don't fix it up. You must hear the gospel of Christ. That is the word of truth of the New Testament. You must believe in those words and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's your Lord, he's your Savior. You cannot be forgiven until you turn your life over to him. You turn your life over to him in believing in him and repenting of your sin, confessing his name, which show you are not ashamed of Christ. And then, having done that, you must be baptized. Who set those conditions? The Almighty God through Christ. You must be baptized to be saved. Remember, sprinkling is not baptism. It is a man-made condition for you to join man-made churches. But Christ's term includes you must be buried in the water for the removal of your sin. You know what? We are here to help you right now. And Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you. As we stand, Christ calls you.